Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm Sydney, and I'm here with Martin.
Hey, guys.
The Mavericks lost tonight to the Pacers. There's actually 25 seconds left in the game. It's 109-90. Here's some good news. We're doing a giveaway, in case you missed it. We're giving away three Luka Doncic t-shirts.
Tonight's not the night.
Dallas
Tonight's not the night.
/ homage to enter. You know, the important thing is that Luka got some rest tonight because he's getting up in years, you know, and he's had some injury history. He's got that bad, bad knee, you know, or back. I forgot it's his back. So it's important that he's fully rested for tomorrow night's game because, you know, that's the important thing. But I think overall, the important thing is that we got Luka some rest. I don't really think these wins and losses really matter, you know?
There are no words. There is no way I can express my frustration in order for you to understand how frustrated I am with this team and with their decision making. There is absolutely no reason to rest Luka. The last two games, they were blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think he played 30 minutes in the last game, and that was 2 nights ago. He had 2 nights off.
Wasn't even really trying that hard, so it's not like he, you know, exerted himself that much.
I go back to what I've said in the past, and I stand by this. Winning is not the Mavericks' number one priority.
You know, I think you got me convinced.
They may think it is, but their actions and decisions lead me. Now, don't get me wrong. It is a priority.
Like, obviously, you know, they're a basketball team. They want to win.
But winning is not the priority. Yeah. They prioritize rest and health
and cap money. Space.
I'm not saying those things aren't important.
They are.
They are important. But winning should be your number one priority. And when they do crap like this, sitting Luka for absolutely no reason whatsoever, it tells me that winning is not their number one priority.
Yeah, I don't understand it because it's like he's 22 years old. And like, when did this start where players can't play back-to-backs? It's like automatic. It's
at least for this
automatic.
Team.
Yeah.
The resting players has been a problem for the last couple of seasons.
It's been a thing.
But the Mavericks have taken it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Like, anytime it's a back-to-back in the schedule, it's like, oh my God, what do we do? What do we do? Don't play our players the first half, or don't play our players the second half of the back-to-back.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to lose one of them guaranteed. Let's try to pick the one we can win.
Yeah.
And it's not that complicated. It's just not. Like, they got him rest the last two games. Mm-hmm. They destroyed the Blazers by like 40 and beat the Timberwolves. He didn't even play 27 minutes.
Yeah.
Two games off, and you're telling me he needs to rest because it's the first front end of a back-to-back. And it's...
I mean, I think, like, normally the being really cautious with a player's games, how many games he plays, happens if like the player is getting older or he's had injury history or he's recovering from an injury or a surgery or whatever. Like, I think in those cases it happens. And that's kind of like with Kristaps. It's equally as frustrating, but it's like, okay, whatever. I can kind of understand. But with a guy like Luka, I'm like, why is it just automatic where he can't play back-to-backs? I don't
get it. It never used to be a thing.
Yeah.
Players used to play back-to-back. All the freaking time. Yeah. They just did.
And like, again, we've said this before. I'm not saying that he needs to play 82 games a season, you know, 48 minutes a game. I'm not saying that. I feel like there's a balance somewhere where he just plays
They're just
normal
throwing
games.
Away games. Yeah. They are literally throwing away games.
Yeah.
Because they want to rest. And it's like, like I said, there is no way for me to express how frustrated. I stopped watching the game at halftime.
Yeah.
Because why would I invest my time and energy to watch this team? I pay $80 a month on cable. I don't watch any other channel.
Yeah, we have it solely literally for that. Because we want to do it legally.
Yes.
You know, we want to pay our dues to watch the games.
I literally pay $80 a month just to watch the Mavericks. Really, to watch Luka. And when they do crap like this, why would I continue to pay top dollar for me to watch you when you don't care about winning? You don't care about putting a good product out there. You think you're smarter than everybody else. You think you figured it out and everybody else is just catching up to you. I got news for you. You ain't in first. You ain't in second. You ain't in third, fourth, fifth. You are in eighth place in the Western Conference. There's a reason why J.J. Redick didn't want to come here. He wanted to be bought out because he wanted to go somewhere where he can play.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It's embarrassing. And I don't know if I'm going to continue to watch.
I mean, we'll watch probably because we have a podcast and, you know, I enjoy doing the pod. And so, like, we'll probably continue to. But it's just, it's frustrating whenever, like, I think I'm fully convinced that they, it's just not their number.
They think it
is. They don't really care about winning games.
And they think winning, like you heard Donnie on the radio, we want to win every game. Well, your actions tell us otherwise. Yeah. You say one thing, but you do something else.
The way that they build rosters, the way that they don't go after players because of cap space, the way that they, you know, games like this where they sit guys unnecessarily, it's like, I feel like you're not putting the best product out there.
Luka is 22 years old. 22. You know, when I was 22, I was playing basketball four nights a week for 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do when you're 22. You got all that energy. You want to run around. He's fine. There is no need to rest him. And I understand resting players from time to time, but they need to be more strategic.
Well, like, sorry, go ahead.
There's no reason for this game whatsoever.
Yeah.
At least try to get a little bit up in the standings or something. Yeah. I don't know. I
think just for me, it's the fact that it's automatic on back-to-backs. It's automatic that one or both of them is going to sit. Like, a back-to-back is just death. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, players used to play it.
You know Porzingis isn't playing tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah. You know he's not playing tomorrow. Luka's going to play tomorrow. And the way they did this is because in the
Porzingis
past,
played 38 minutes, which was a season high for him.
And they got destroyed.
Yeah.
So the way they, I think they looked at it is, in the past, Porzingis has had monster games against the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
And Luka's had monster games against the Pelicans. And so they're like, well, let's put Porzingis on the Pacers and Luka on the Pels, and we're so much better than both of these teams that we'll win anyways.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely stupid. I bet you the Pelicans played all their guys tonight, I believe. I wanted to verify
they
this.
Did. Yeah.
I bet you they're going to do the same thing tomorrow.
Yeah, so the Pelicans are on the second night of a back-to-back tomorrow, too. But yeah, they play their guys, and we'll see if they play them tomorrow. I mean, who knows?
I almost guarantee you they'll probably play them all tomorrow.
Yeah, this has happened multiple times this year where the Mavs have played a team that's on the second night of a back-to-back. And in my head, being a dumb Mavs fan, I'm like, oh, sweet.
They're going to rest their guys.
Yeah, or they won't have any energy because it's the second night of.
And you can't win those.
Yeah, and the Mavs lose. And it's like, I'm tired of losing to teams that are fighting whenever we say that those games are impossible.
You know, winning the second night of a back-to-back used to be about pride.
Yeah.
Because if you could go out there being tired, being exhausted on the second night of a back-to-back, but muster it out, muster all the energy you have, fight it out, and win that game, you had a lot of pride for your team.
Mm-hmm.
That you knew that when you were down in the ditches, when it was really exhausting and you were getting killed,
you came together.
Yes, you had what it took to come out of that and win that game. It builds character. It builds a winning organization. And when you say, oh, we're okay with losing, that doesn't give you that fire, that
galvanize
that desire.
You.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you're in a game six, backs against the wall, down by 11 in the fourth quarter, you're going to crumble and you're going to quit because you haven't galvanized the team. You haven't galvanized your will in order to win those games. It's
Yeah, I'd like I'm not saying that these players are soft, because I think Luka probably wanted to play. I mean, I can't believe that he
absolutely was fine wanted with to play. Yeah.
So I don't think that players are soft, at least not within the Mavs organization. I don't understand the organization's idea of resting them all these games. And it was just frustrating, because it's like, you know, they're going to lose. And
well, they suck. And without, then they lost. Can't score.
Yeah.
The last time they played just Porzingis and not Luka, they scored 89 points. Mm-hmm.
They scored 94 tonight.
Okay. They cannot score without Luka. He is their only playmaker. And for them to think that they can score without him and win a game without him is absolutely stupid. Like, it doesn't matter who you're playing. Without Luka, you are a bottom feeder team in the West.
Yeah, so the team high in assists was two players had three assists, Josh Richardson and Kristaps Porzingis. Mm. The team had 17 assists total. I mean, there's games when Luka himself has 17 assists. Yeah, so Kristaps had 31 points on 28 shots. They were feeding the post all night long. And I mean, Kristaps did a good job. Now, 12 for 28, yes, that's not a good shooting percentage. But, I mean, in the post, that's probably what you're going to get from guys outside of Dirk, you know.
12 for 28 is terrible in the post.
Yeah, like, but I mean, he's not a great post. Like, to me, this is what I would expect from Kristaps. Like, this is the kind of player he is. This is a shooting percentage he's going to shoot if he gets 28 shots in the post.
And you know he wanted to win so badly without Luka to prove, you know, because that's his problem.
Because of our theories.
Yes, he just does not want to accept that Luka is the leader of this team, and he has to support Luka to help win. He's got to grow up is really what he has to do and mature, because with his attitude, the way he is, he's like a prima donna. You know, he doesn't understand his role. He thinks he's one thing when everybody else is like, dude, that's not
you're
you.
You're not, yeah.
And that kind of attitude creates an issue. We've watched some interviews with CJ McCollum, Klay Thompson, about how they're like, they want to support Dame Lillard and Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. Help them be the best version of themselves. When have we ever heard Kristaps say that? He doesn't.
All I hear from him is like
ball movement, which means give me the ball.
We have really great ball movement, which is important because we know we got so much talent on this team. You know, we just need ball movement to get these guys going. It's like you don't have any talent, okay? So 31 points. He was a minus six. He did have 18 rebounds. That was tied a career high for him. I will say, he was crashing the boards. He had a great rebounding night. And I tweeted this. I wish he did this every night, because the Mavs sometimes struggle with rebounding. And I feel like tonight he was really aggressive and going after rebounds. And I don't know if maybe, like, you know, when Luka plays, he gets maybe 10 rebounds. So that kind of takes away however many are available to Kristaps. So maybe it's just that. But tonight I just felt like he was a lot more aggressive in going after the boards. And it was great. He had 18. I just, you know, I wish he did that every game.
Why can't he play with that same aggression every single night?
Yeah.
I just, but he, when he's not touching the ball, it's like a wide receiver who he gets tired of running down the field and not getting the ball thrown to him.
Yeah.
Little does he realize he's not open or the quarterback, you know, he can't see him every time. And so he'll pout and scream and yell. And then the quarterback will be like, okay. And so he'll force it to him and throw a pick.
Yeah.
Because it's like, dude, you're not open.
Or it's a bad pass and he doesn't catch it.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just like, sometimes it's not going to go your way.
Yeah.
And that's just all there is to it. You can't think that you have to touch. It's like that incident in the first game or the second game in Portland where, before the blowout occurred, he was playing well. Mm-hmm. Luka came down, could have threw him an alley-oop.
Fast break, yeah.
Missed him one time.
Yeah.
And that one time, you know, you're pouting.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. And it's like, dude, you're not good enough to lead a team to a winning record. You're just not, man. It's no disrespect. You cannot sit there and say that you are as good as Luka watching that dude perform.
Yeah, I mean, Kristaps is a good player, but he's a supporting player. He needs to support whatever Luka is doing.
That.
And yeah, and tonight you saw these guys, what they're like without Luka. I mean, you know, Luka makes everyone better. So like Brunson was 5 for 13, Richardson was 4 for 14, and well, I don't know, maybe they just had an off night. You know,
well, they had an off night the last time Luka was out.
Yeah, Luka just, you know, he keeps everything going, and this isn't news. I mean, this isn't analysis, but this is why it's frustrating when the Mavericks don't put themselves in a position to succeed. And I know these are all NBA players; they should all be able to win an NBA game.
God.
But that's not how this works, okay? You have some players that are better than others. You have some guys that just can't win a game by themselves. And you need those other guys. You know, this is basketball. This isn't fairyland where an NBA player should be able to win every NBA game no matter what. Like, you need those guys to win. When you don't play them, to me, it's saying, yeah, maybe you want to win, but you're clearly okay with losing. Because otherwise, if you really, really wanted to win, you would put yourself in the best position to win.
And I'm not asking anybody to put any player in danger of being injured.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But there's a balance you can have with this. I just felt like in back-to-back games, Luka's minutes were really low. Mm-hmm. He had two nights off. Play him.
Yeah.
I know you have like 7 games in the next 11 days. So if you wanted to pick one or two out of those after you've played a lot of games and rest him, okay, I understand that. But to rest him on this game unnecessarily just because it's the first night of a back-to-back, I'm not asking anybody to put anybody in danger, but players used to play back-to-back games and it was a sense of pride when you had a winning record on your second night of back-to-back games, and we've turned that into an automatic loss when you have a back-to-back. And unfortunately the Mavs have 10 of these after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so that's 5 games automatic losses.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really have a lot of analysis outside of that. I mean,
I stopped watching. Why would I invest my time and energy watching them when they don't care?
Yeah. So we're going to have a pod coming up where we talk about the trade. They got JJ Redick. I talked to a Pelicans guy about Redick just to kind of see what we can expect. Do you think Redick will make a huge difference here? Actually, I'm starting to think, I'm not sure when he's going to play, because the heel thing, I thought that was just like, oh, because they're going to trade him, they don't want to play him or whatever. But then Donnie Nelson kind of brought it up again in his pregame interview. So I don't know if it actually is a legit thing and maybe he's not healthy right now. God, that would suck if Redick was like, I don't want to play, like I have this heel thing and just doesn't play the rest of the season. That's me going down a lonely dark road right now, but it's something.
I can't even talk about the Redick. I mean, in all honesty, like
we're not going to do that. The deep dive on
okay, yay, they got him. Let's hope he plays. Let's hope he's good.
Yeah.
Let's move on with our lives. I mean, I'm so frustrated with their decision making that the problem is that there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Cowboys fans with Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get rid of him so bad.
But you can't.
But you can't because he owns the team.
Yeah.
And it's like with Cuban, you want him to stop doing the things he's doing.
Yeah.
But he's not gonna because he owns the team. So we're stuck with it. The only thing I can hope for is that Luka leaves before he wastes a whole lot of time here with players on 1-year deals.
Excuse me.
The only thing I can hope for is that Luka leaves
before he wastes his career.
Yes, and then go somewhere and win, and I will follow Luka. I am a Luka fan. I used to hate on LeBron fans. Oh, I'm a LeBron fan. What does that mean?
How convenient.
Yeah, how convenient. So, but you know what? I'm a Luka fan.
I understand now.
I understand now.
Well, so yeah, the summer coming up, I'm working on an article on that. It's a big summer for them. What? Am I?
Nobody cares about all this other stuff.
I'm just saying, you know, it's going to be on DallasHoopsCast.com just in case.
This is the moment for their feelings to be realized.
I apologize.
And you going on talking about JJ Redick article?
This is why you're the voice of the fans. You know, we got another review on Apple Podcasts of somebody saying that you truly are the voice of the people. This is why. Because you're free to voice the things that they want to say into the ether, and well, you say it.
I mean, this is how we all feel. We can see it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Everybody feels the same way on the twits. Okay, so, you know, we can express it because we feel the same way. We see how they feel, and this is it. They're freaking annoyed by these decisions. And again, it's what Kirk always talks about, Kirk Henderson, Mavs Moneyball podcast. The Mavericks think they are smarter than everybody else. And
well, and you can't say anything negative. Well,
no, they built an empire. Yeah,
we can say negative things because
but media people.
Yeah, well, because we're not credentialed, and we're never gonna be credentialed, and I don't care because I would rather be authentic and just share my honest feelings. But if you do want to be credentialed, you can't say these things. And the people that are, you know, I'm not hating, but it's like you get this. There's like the Dallas Mavericks reality distortion field where they've created this perception of who they are and why they do things. And anyone that lives outside of that is just wrong. And it's like, it's a complete distortion of reality. And it's like things like this. It's like, no, we want to win games. Yes. Why are we not playing our 22-year-old guy who has no injury history? Why can't we just win games?
Well, you're 100% right. They've built a bubble.
Yeah.
A monopoly
of... You can't criticize. You can't say anything.
If you do, then they will bully you. They will kick you out of credentials.
Or just make it seem like you're stupid. Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about.
Or insult you.
And it's like, I'm not stupid. Like, you can say whatever you want and explain it away, but at the end of the season, the record is the record. And the record for the past 10 years... is proof of the quality of their decision making.
But you can't say these things because they just...
I can say
these things. Well, I'm going to say it because it needs to be said. It's absolutely ridiculous. The problem with preventing all forms of negative criticism or constructive criticism, it doesn't help you to realize your decisions are wrong.
Yeah.
Everybody's telling you, you're doing the right thing. When in reality, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not doing the right thing, but you don't have anybody else's voice in there to help you recognize these decisions. You only have people that you have allowed to say positive things, because if they don't, they're gone. They're not going to be a part of this franchise. And it's dumb. It's just, why are they above constructive criticism?
I don't know.
I'm so irritated. Like, I pay $80 a month.
Yeah.
$80 a month just to watch them. So why would I continue to do that when they don't care about the product they're putting on the TV screen?
Well, I think it just builds up over time. You know, it's not about like just one game or this stretch or this season or whatever. Like, you know, this season compared to the past 10 years is actually a pretty good season, but it's the buildup of the decisions year after year of the cap space and the free agency and the missed players and misusing guys and now the rest. And now when we're finally good, we don't play our guys. And that's like, we're falling in the standings. We want to move up. And it's just like, it's a buildup year over year of decisions that, like you said, to me, it just seems like they don't care about winning as much as I wish they did. You know, I wish they would just put a winning product on the court, and then we wouldn't have to make excuses. We wouldn't have to explain why Kristaps is better than you think he is, and why this crappy free agent they got is better than you think he is, and what
trying to sell us.
Yeah,
on
like
something.
You wouldn't have to explain it away or make excuses. You would just have a good winning team, and that's all I want.
They try to control the narrative about their team, like you said, the bubble that they've created.
Yeah.
So that's when they signed DeLon Wright. Oh, you guys just don't know.
Yeah, you just
you're
don't
all
know what
idiot
you're...
fans. Idiot fans
just
don't
wait
know where. Yes.
You're gonna love this guy.
Yes. When you see him, you're going to be like, man, the Mavs know what they're doing. But in reality, he's what we thought he was going to be.
The next summer, you dumped him for nothing.
And then he gets traded again because he sucks. And you can sit there and sell us on him all you want because you're not willing to pay money for anybody that's actually good. but you're going to sit here and call us stupid because on Twitter it's a bunch of negativity towards you. Well, do smart things and you won't get negative responses. Yeah. Like, if you continue to do stupid things, you're going to have a bunch of people on your back. If you do smart things, people will be on your side. But you continue to do stupid things and then you blame us.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be people that are... There's always going to be fans that have... outlandish criticisms. Yes. No matter what, there's people that want Steve Kerr to be fired. There's, you know, there's always those fans, but you know, that's don't not wrap everyone them all yeah into one. Like, for the most part, we're pretty rational fans that have been watching basketball for a long time. Yes. We understand things are complicated, but also all these other teams are doing these things, and you know, we talk about cap space all the time, and it's like, all of these championship teams are paying tons of money. Like, that's just what you have to do. Yep. To put together a good team.
I have been around basketball my entire life. Like, whenever I was a kid, I would sleep with a basketball because that's just what me and my brother would do. That's sad. Because we loved basketball so much. That's what you do. I've been watching Dirk ever since he came into the league. I've been watching the Mavericks for over 25 years now. I know what a good basketball team looks like, and I know what a good run organization looks like. And the Mavericks, ever since 2011, have steadily been going down the mountain into bad management, bad ownership.
Yeah.
And I know, like, that's really – some people would say that's ridiculous. Mark Cuban, he's one of the best owners in the league. Well, look at his history and tell me again that he's one of the best owners in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's more than one right way to do this, to build a team. And, well, for one thing, I don't think the Mavericks are doing it the right way anyway. But I understand there's more than one right way to do it. But it's like, you have teams like the Miami Heat, okay? They did a sign and trade to get Jimmy Butler. So first of all, just that alone, they didn't have any cap space. Like, they had zero cap space, and they were able to do that sign and trade in order to get Jimmy Butler to make them a team that eventually went to the finals. Now, that wasn't an easy decision because they had to dump some salary in order to make that trade work. And then once they pulled off that sign-in trade, it hard capped them. And so that put some restrictions on them for what they could do. But even then, they were able to work with that and still put together a good roster. And then yesterday at the trade deadline, they were able to trade for Victor Oladipo. They got another player. I can't remember his. Was it in Bielitsa, I think? They're in the talks to get LaMarcus Aldridge now that he's been bought out. And so even with these so-called like deadly restrictions that we're always told about, they were able to still get better even after making that sign and trade for Jimmy Butler. So it's like they have managed things really well to where, yeah, there's the cap and there's the hard cap and there's restrictions put on you. But if you work things the right way, you can still put together a good team and make the right moves and compete for a championship. And yeah, they're paying the luxury tax. But
they were in the finals last year.
Good teams pay the luxury tax.
Yes.
That's just the bottom line. Championship teams pay the luxury tax. So it's like, I understand what the Mavericks are saying, how there's a cap and there's you have to work within the rules. And I get that.
Nobody else is.
But it is possible to make these moves, get these good players, and still work with that cap. It's possible. To me, I think it's just because it seems like they don't want to pay the tax.
So they're doing all that with Jimmy Butler, who I love. Jimmy Butler is a great player. But Luka is a better player than Jimmy Butler.
And this whole... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Let it out, please, Sydney. Let it out.
Luka's been on his rookie deal. And I know he's had a lot of growing to do. Maybe it's naive of me to say you should have built a championship team while you could, while he was on his rookie deal, because he's so young. You know, maybe it's stupid for me to think that they could compete for a title while he is this young. But there is still that element of he was on his rookie deal this entire time, and they didn't take advantage of that to put together a sick roster. Like, imagine you have a kind of rookie deal that's Luka Doncic. Imagine what you could have built with all of that extra cap space.
Well, look, I'm not expecting the Mavericks to be legit contenders every year. Even with Dirk, they weren't contenders. Like, they were a good team. They were a 50-win team, and they could probably get past a round or two in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But they were never quite – they were always missing a piece or whatever to finally get over the hump. But that's what you got to do. You got to be a good team before you can become a great team. Put a good team out there. Let them go a round or two in the playoffs. See what you truly need in order to take that next step. But right now, we're just wasting time because we're not doing that. And so we went into the playoffs last year, and we got eliminated. What did we hear the Mavs needed? Toughness. We're going to go get us some tough guys.
James Johnson.
They didn't even do that because, first of all, James Johnson didn't play. When I'm thinking toughness, I'm thinking a guy that's actually going to be out there and play. Like, I know we hate him, but Marcus Morris. And I know he's kind of a fake tough, but he's got the attitude. It's the mindset. A guy that actually will contribute on the court.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy that will actually play minutes and score points. Yes. And you
the
know,
only tough. Reason they got James Johnson was twofold. One, to say we got our tough guy.
Yeah.
Two, expiring deal. Yeah. So they're like, crap. We can't get anybody, or nobody wants to come here, or I don't want to pay anybody anything. So how do we get that tough guy facade that we're going to sell the fans, but then also not have to pay anybody for more than a year? Oh, James Johnson, trade for him. Yeah. And then, oh yeah, he's MMA, black belt, blah, 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 never lost a UFC fight. Now, what a joke. What a joke that is.
Yeah. I'm so tired of this conversation. And this summer, you know, they have like max space again. But really, it's a tough summer because they have bird rights on all of their players. And so they don't really have max cap space unless they renounce all these bird rights. So anyways, I'm not allowed to prop up things that I'm working on in terms of articles, apparently. Yes. So I won't talk about that. But
I don't know if there's much more that needs to be said.
No, it's like I said, I'm tired of this conversation. Yeah. I'm tired of talking about this.
The fact is, the Mavericks think they are smarter than everybody else. And part of the reason is because they've created this bubble around the team that they cannot be constructively criticized. There is no negativity allowed. And so everybody's telling them, hey, yeah, you're smart. You're doing the right thing. When in reality, they're not. But they don't know that because they won't allow anybody to speak that way. Because if they do, then their credentials get removed.
Well, and like I said, to me, it's not like it's just this year. Like, we have evidence of the past of decisions that, like, we're not good decisions. Like, players that, you know, we were like, these guys suck. These are not good. But we were told, no, you don't know what you're talking about. They're actually good. And it turns out they are trash. Or the record. I mean, the record at the end of the season, like, it is what it is. So to me, it's, you know, I'm open to, like, if I'm wrong, then yeah, sure. But I don't know. To me, the proof plays out in the end. And that's why we get so cynical, because it does play out exactly the way we hoped that it wouldn't, but thought that it would.
Yep. I'm done.
Anyways, I'm done. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. I hope this was therapeutic. If not, I apologize, but thank you for your supportingness.
Wow.
We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.